We're about to begin a new sugya. So the Gemara is now going to discuss, in a certain sense, really the first real Sanhedrin sugya that we're going to discuss, that we're going to talk about, in terms of just how many dayonim we really do need. The Imamas B'Shloisha, the Mishnah starts out talking about three dayonim. So we're going to talk about how many dayonim we need, but not only in terms of quantity of dayonim, but quality of dayonim as well. What types of dayonim, who qualifies as a dayon, at least in terms of the basic tzur, in terms of at least the Imamas. So before we begin to discuss the Gemara and the Gemara's analysis of the Mishnah, what would we have said to do this? If I would say to you, there's a parsha in the Torah called the Eila Mishpat, which is awesome. There's a concept of Dinei Torah, everybody knows. I'm fighting whether I broke your window, we're fighting whether I had the butter. Dinei Mamonis. So if I were to ask you, everybody agrees there's a concept of Mishpat, there's a concept of Dayonim, there's a concept of Beis Din. How many dayonim would you say that halacha should require? What's the starting point of the entire sugya? There's no question about. What is the starting point of the entire sugya? Three. You would start with three. That would the first thing you would say is three. Nah. I'd say one. Tafas, temubalot, tafas. One. One dayon. You got a one dayon in shay? Does the dayon have any qualifications? Does he have to be very smart? I would say he has to be smart enough to know what the din is. I would say that's pretty much what the qualifications are. I know what he's talking about. So I mean, the starting point, you have to look at what the starting point of the sugya is. Something gets so bogged down in all the details of the sugya, we forget to give our own two cents. What would we have thought the din would have been? So we would have thought the din would have been one dayan. We would have thought that one dayan doesn't have to have any specific qualifications. Dinim amas b'yachon, that's how I would have started. So it's really Hamotz Mechabel of Araya, I don't mean that in a literal sense, but you want to tell me that there are halachas of more dayanim? You want to tell me there's a mispar of dayanim? You want to tell me there's a quality of dayanim, a quantity of dayanim? You got to tell me, where did it come from? So that's how the sugya starts in the days of the days. That if the Mishnah starts out by talking about the imamas b'shloisha, so there has to be some source, there has to be some kind of a mokhor for this din of b'shloisha. So what possible mokhor could we look for? So we look in the Chumash, and the Gemara comes up with a great mokhor. What's the mokhor? We look at Parshas HaMishpatim. The Torah describes a certain din Torah. It happens to be a din Torah between a mafkir and a shomer, but it's a little bit of a complicated din Torah between a mafkir and a shomer because it also involves a what? Potentially a what? Potentially a ganav or a toin tainas ganav. Something to do with kefil. Very complicated story here in Parshas Mishpatim. And here the Torah actually spells out for us, at least the Tashba Peh explains the psukim, a certain number of dayanim that are necessary. How do you know that the numbers of dayanim? Well, the Torah uses a phrase multiple times, Nikra Balabais Elohim, which that phrase Elohim does not refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather refers to Tayonim, refers to the judges, and the Torah uses the phrase three times. Everyone's going to qualify this a little bit later on, the sugi, exactly how do you see those tukum three times, but working out with the assumption three times. And the fact that he uses that phrase, which describes Dayan, describes Shoftim three times, that becomes the model for Dinim Mamonos B'Shloisha. So it comes to the Gemara and says that this parasha, Parashas HaMishpatim, the parasha of the Mafkid, why don't we always leave a mark here that actually does work, rather than because it won't be here the next day. That's good stuff. It's the deep. To know, wow, this is a whole new level of sheer system. You have to raise it also. Okay. So the parasha of Mafkid and Shoimer and Ganov. So number one, we're learning out the magic number of Mispar HaDayonim. That's number one. That's one possible thing. But then the Gemara comments that there's something else that could be learned from this phrase. What else could be used? Learned out from this phrase, not just the quantity of dayanim, but the what? Quality of dayanim. This is a loaded phrase. The nikra balabais Elohim. This is not just three Tom, Dick, and Harry's over here. These are serious people. These are people the Rebbeinu Shlom is labeling with the title of chashivas. This is a serious rabbinic title. What does that mean? It's the highest possible smicha you can get. Name it smicha ishma pishad moshe rabbeinu dayanim smuchim as well. The Gemara says that anything that's included in this parasha of Mafkid and Shomer, of Kefil, etc., is going to require, number one, Mispar Dayonim of three, and number two, these Dayonim are going to have to be Smuchim. So it comes to the Gemara now, raises the following question. Well, what exactly is included in this case? which type of dinei Torah are included in this case. This is the model. This is obviously not the only example. This is an illustration. This is a model of a dinei Torah. So whenever you look at a model for something, you have to always be careful. You have to know what qualities, what characteristics are important, and what are true but irrelevant. So comes the Gemara and says, this model of Maat Shem Reganov falls into that category of halacha that's called what? What? It's Didi Mamas, but it's a very specific type of Didi Mamas. What kind? It's Gezel Shechavolos. It involves torts, it involves being chayef kefal, involves things being destroyed. Right? That's a type of a Din Torah. Gezel Shechavolos. So there is no question that, at least at this stage in the sugya, Gezel Shechavolos are included. All cases of Gezel Shechavolos are included in this illustration, both in terms of Misra Dayanim and in terms of Dayanim Smuchim. The question that the Gemara is about to raise is, what about the other category of Dinei Mamonos that we spoke a lot about last week when we highlighted, we compared and contrasted the Dinei Mamonos of Gezeilos V'Chavolos in contrast to the Dinei Mamonos of Hodolos V'Alvolos. So the Hodolos and Alvolos subject to these two rules, or they're not subject to these two rules? So that's where it starts to get a little bit tricky. So, L'Chora, we cannot compare Gezeilos V'Chavolos to Hodolos V'Alvolos. They're just too fundamentally different from one another. Being chayef kefal for stealing animals is not the same as saying they didn't pay back a loan. It's just not the same. Every hodah hava is just not gezeilos. Again, we spent a lot of time last week on Rashi, why that phenomenon is true. Why is every hodah hava also gezeilos chavolos? So we know the answer to that question. Rashi, Rambam, Smag, Kesemisha, we worked out the nuances of that last week. But there's no question under the sun that these two things are not the same. So just be tamatzmeinu, just based on our own logic, there's no way we would have ever said that Hovos equals Gezeilos. That just can't be. That's just silly. So if that's silly, you can never say such a thing. So the Chora, when it comes to a Dintoira about Hodos and Hovos, where do we go back to, everybody say? Where do we fall back to? If this Pasuk is not referring to Hodos and Hovos, because Hodos and Hovos are not the same as Gezeilos and Chavolos, so where do we go? What was the starting point? Remember I asked you for your own creativity in the sugya? I wasn't just interested in hearing what you had to say. I really couldn't care less what you had to say. But why did I ask you that question? Because I still couldn't care less for you. Why did I ask you that question? Because I wanted you to think a little bit to what the starting point is. And L'Chora, once you tell me that the Parsha Matan Shomer Ganav is only Gezeilos V'Chavolos, Hodolos V'Chavolos are radically different, they're not subject to this Parsha, and the starting point, L'Chora, should be that Hodolos V'Chavolos should require how many Dayanim? Not three. Should they require Semuchim? No. That's the Chora where the starting point of the sugya is. So comes the Gemara and Abayz on the Bayz and introduces a whole new monkey wrench into this sugya. The Gemara says that I agree to everything I just said is emes lamita. Can I say anything? Everything I said is just poshut. It's just mamish poshut svar, what I just said. If it's in the parsha, then the didim apply. If it's not in the parsha, then the didim don't apply. Now the Gemara raises a question from left field. Wait a second. Who is in the parsha? Who is out of the parsha? Who's in the parsha is out of the parsha. Mafkit, Shayim, Akanov. These are all classic examples of Gezeilos. I don't see any mention cues. Hey, that was a good line. That was going to be an unbelievable pun. No one even caught that. I caught that before I said it. Did you catch it? I said, Ki who's that? Right. Okay. That's a good one. Come on, Ash. You got to get that one down. Shushan Purim, Tavshin, Ayin Vav. Okay, get that on the list. Okay. Ash is, besides being a shir assistant, he is officially in charge of keeping a record of any corny thing that I say during the course of the year. Bein b'kavana, bein b'shalei b'kavana. And he officially makes fun of me on Shushan Purim. That's the Seyed HaDvarim. Okay. What? Finish B.I.? Okay. Okay. We got to work on some of those. Okay. Rabbi, I don't see any mention in the Pasuk about anything except for Gezeilos V'Chavolos. I see a kana, I see animals getting stolen, I see kefil, I see dal v'hei, I see a lot of heavy-duty Gezeilos V'Chavolos terminology in this Pasuk. I don't see any mention whatsoever of anything which has to do with Hodolos V'Chavolos. So comes the Gemara and says, well, you didn't read the Pasuk carefully. Comes the Gemara and references us to a sugya in the ninth parak of Bava Kama. There is a major machloikis. A machloikis amaroim fashuam, a machloikis atanoim. How to read Pshat and Chumash. How to read Pshat and Chumash. How could the Pasuk be Machlokes? The Pasuk's talking about Gezeilos V'Chavolos. Why would anybody think there's anything more in the Pasuk than meets the eye? So comes the Gemara and introduces to us a concept which is now the background to our sugya called what? called Erev Parshas. What's the name of the Sugya?
Erev Parshas.
Good name. Glad I chose it. Erev Parshas. A machloikis tanam, machloikis tamarayim, about this very, very strange phenomenon called Erev Parshas. What does the term Erev Parshas, what does an Erev literally mean? It's a mixture. It's a mishkababal, it's a cholent. Erev Parshas. What does the term here mean? So, for our purposes, we're going to go with Rashi's version of what Erev Parshas means. To the end of the Sugya, we're going to show the alternate shot in what Erev Parshas, but just for simplicity, we're going to stick to Rashi's definition of Erev Parshas. According to Rashi, Erev Parshas means this problem. You open up Parshas Mishpatim and you read the whole parsha about a mafkid and a shem and a ganav, all the dinim of mafkid, shem, and ganav. And then, about 20 psukim later or so, there's another parsha about two other people who are fighting out. Who are they? A malvin, a loive. Im kesef taves amias, ani imach, kesef, malvin, loive. They're also doing a Torah that take place there. There are two different parshas in the Chumash. We call it Parsha A and Parsha B. So Parsha A deals with a mafkid and a shomer. Parsha B happens to deal with a malva and a loiva. If I was reading Chumash, I would have said these parshas have mamish nothing to do with each other. I mean, they both deal with mamanis. They both deal with people giving things to other people, but they're two different relationships. There's the mafkid shomer relationship. There's the malva loiva relationship. The fact that the psukim happen to be near each other doesn't do anything. Why? My Shmita, it's less than they're two different parshas. They're two different dinim. The dinim that govern one don't govern another. That's what one opinion says. That's the opinion that says ein erev parshas kosav kan, which is exactly what anybody would have said on their own. Ein erev parshas kosav kan. All of a sudden, Kupta Gemara in the end of a comment says there's one opinion that says no. But even though these parshas seem to be very, very different from one another, there is a little bit of a mixing. There's a tarevis. You're a damn man. A little bit of a mixing. A little bit of a chulent between these parshas. And there are actually certain phrases or certain nuances that appear in one that may actually be referring to the other. It's almost like one long, like one mixture together. What is that nuance? What's the phrase that kind of appears here but doesn't really belong here, really belongs somewhere else? So it's that funny, funny phrase called Asher Yomar Yehuzeh, one of the strangest phrases that appears in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah says, no, how does it go? Al kol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al se, al salma, al kol abeda. What does it say? Asher yomar ki hu ze, adu elohim yevel dvar shtem asher, shir elohim yishnayim shnayim l'rehu. There's some kind of a din Torah going on, and somebody is saying something. Asher yomar ki hu ze. I have no idea what I'm claiming, I have no idea what your response is, and I have no idea what the Torah says. Otherwise, I understand the pasuk clearly. So comes the Teshuva Peh and says, let's fill in the gaps of this pasuk. So first of all, this pasuk is referring to a shvua. The pasuk is talking about a chiv shvua. How do you know the pasuk about a chiv shvua? Because the pasuk of later, the Torah uses a similar phrase, shvua sashem tia ben shneim, v'nikra v'abai salit. The Torah uses similar phrases which discuss shvua. So there's no question that whatever in the world this pasuk is talking about, it's talking about a chiv shvua. Now, not every din Torah results in a chiyuv shvua. 99% of din Torah have nothing to do with the shvua. But here the Torah is being mechadish to me, there's a din shvua deraisa. If this phrase is fulfilled, there's a din shvua deraisa. What is this phrase? So the Torah is very unclear. Asher yomar ki hu zeh. That he says this is it. Now, if you had to translate that, well, how would you translate it? What the words mean? He, this is it. So that means, I say you owe me $100 and you say, yes, this is it, I owe you $100. So who's taking the shvua? What's the shvua for? If I say you owe me $100 and you say I don't owe you anything, so what did you say? You didn't say this is it. You said this is not. So what is the phrase? What do the words mean? Asher yomar ki hu zeh. If you're admitting to what I said, there's no din Torah. If you're denying what I said, so you aren't oimek ki hu zeh. So the Teshuva Peh explains that there's only one way to make any sense out of this pasuk. What is the pasuk referring to? Asher yomar ki hu zeh? What? The yemeidu miktas v'kayfev miktas. That you admit the half of the story, a part of the story, and deny the other half. This is the source for the principle called Meidu b'miktas yishava. And this is a shvur deraisa. And this is derived from this pasuk, Asher yomar ki hu zeh adu elohim yavod v'ashneim. Adu elohim yavod v'ashneim is a lashon of shvua. Asher yomar ki hu zeh. So there's no question under the sun that Teshuva Peh identified for us that ki hu zeh is the marker for shvuas. What is unclear is what scenario is Shavuos Mezi Mikzah applied to? Which case is Shavuos Mezi Mikzah said? So this is where the Tanaim and Amoraim part ways. So some say that Shavuos Mezi Mikzah was said exactly where it appears, in the parasha of where? In the parasha of Mafkid Shema Ganav, etc. And the other Dana says, no, Shavuos Mezi Mikzah happens not to apply to Parshas Hashomrim. Parshas Hashomrim works with its own sets of rules for Shavuos. This parasha, this pasuk Yuzeh, was not even said here, even though it's recorded in the Chumash here, but the Teresh Rapet takes this pasuk and removes the pasuk and sticks it where? In a totally different parasha called, what? Called Mavav Aloyveh. And that is the Salachic terminology called Erev Parshas. Erev Parshas, the original term of Erev Parshas, as appears in the ninth Pekah of Avakamah means that I take the phrase Kihuzeh, which although in the Teresh B'chsav is written in the context of a Mafkid and a Shomer, and I say, Api Aloch, it doesn't really belong there. It really belongs a few Parshas later, a few Pesukim later, in the Parsha Bava Aloyveh. And this serves as the marker that Meidim Miktas Halvoz Chayiv in a Shvur Diraisa. That's the background of Sanhedrin Dabbeis. So unless you understand all that from the end of Avakamah, you're going to be missing the boat in terms of Sanhedrin Dabbeis and Dabbeis. So comes the Gemara now and says, hey, wait a second. If that's true, that Erev Parsha is Kosov Khan, so now I have to go back to my Dinim Hamnes B'Shloisha and ask myself, well, wait a second. How many Dayanim do you need for Hodos V'Havos? Do you need three Dayanim for Hodos V'Havos? Do they have to be Smuchin for Hodos V'Havos? What's the answer? It depends. If you accept the principle called Erev Parsha is Kosov Khan, so what does that conclude? What does that force us to mean? What does that force us to conclude? If you accept Erev Parsha, what do the words mean? So then, in the Parsha of Mispar Dayanim 3, in the Parsha of Smuchin, all the dinim that were learned out from the three times it says Elohim in the Parsha, both of these halachas are said vis-a-vis Hodos V'Avos as well. So if you accept the view that Erev Parsha is, so then we go back to what we said. Our starting point was you don't need any, you just need one dayan. Our starting point was he doesn't have to be a samuch. But now our starting point is wrong, because that's true assuming that there wouldn't have been any makor in Chumash to the contrary. But there is a makor in Chumash to the contrary. The makor in Chumash to the contrary is the three psukah, the three words Elohim, the requirement to smuchin, which if you put this together, the Erev Parshas, it turns out the Hodos V'Avos also require three dayanim, and the dayanim have to be smuchin. However, if you deny Erev Parshas, what does the Gemara say? What's the thing if you deny Erev Parshas? So then Kiyuzef doesn't refer to Hodos V'Avos, it refers to Mafkid and Shem, it refers to Gezelas. There is no makor to require three dayanim. There is no makor to require smuchin for Hodos V'Avos. They go back to step one, go back to the original assumption, the taka, there is no requirement of three, there is no requirement of smuchin. So it took us 20 minutes just to sum up, to recap what it says in the Gemara. We have to make sure you have this clear. It is clear as day from Sanhedrin Dabbeis and Dabbeis that the question of do Hodos V'Avos require three, and does the three be smuchin, depends on one factor alone. If you accept the Erev Parshas, what's the answer? What's the din? If you accept the Erev Parshas, then what's the din? Then you need three, and the three have to be smuchin. If you deny any Erev Parshas, then what's the din? You need three? No, they have to be smuchin? No. That's the Parshas that varm in the entire Sugya. Okay? That's the base of the base of Masechus in heaven.
Mean that, like, Asher and Rakhi, that we're saying it's exclusively referring to Kizalvos, so we're saying.
So now you're going back and asking Germans, ask the question, wait a second, if you take Erev Parshas to the ultimate conclusion, so then it'll turn out that maybe you need three Dayanim only for the also Avos and not for Xelos V'Chavalos. Right? That's your Kasha? Good question. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. That's Tosis Kasha and Bava Kamma against Rashi. Good. Good, good, good. Okay?
Why does it have to be extended all throughout? I mean,
So if you hold, if you accept the view that Erev Parshas, that means licked in this Parsha is a discussion of Dini Halva. So the Torah says Dini Halva have to are subject to everything it says in the Parsha. Maybe three Elohim, then it's got to be the Hansmuchim, the whole nine yards. Okay? That's clear for the Gemara. That's clear in the Gemara. No question about it. So if I say, it took us 20 minutes to tell you what we extracted. This is it. This is all you have to know. Who thinks that box is true? Who thinks that box is highly questionable? So we just read the Gemara together. We just read the Gemara about Pet together. Everyone was nodding and smiling and writing, and taking notes, and whatever you guys do on the computers, and sure. So everyone agreed to what I said. Now everyone's afraid to fight. Come on, we have some courage here. So Rabbi say, we have reason to believe that notwithstanding the way the Gemara just presented Sol Shach V'Tayah, there may be other possibilities out here, other logical possibilities in both directions. I may be able to sell your story to tell you that even if you accept the Parshas, you don't necessarily have to agree to 3 day on a Muslim. Possible. And then when I'm finished convincing you that, I'm going to try to convince you, even if you deny your Parshas, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to hold there's no need for 3 day on a Muslim. This is possible. The Gemara has presented this as a logical possibility. Can't argue with that. Is it absolute? Is it muchach? Can one argue for keret? One can argue for keret. So let's analyze a little bit. Let's take a look in between the lines of the sugya and see what other possibilities are out there. So this box is definitely one logical possibility. I'm not arguing that. But just because it's one possibility doesn't mean it's the only possibility. So there is a Gemara in the Gimel Amud Aleph what we're just going to touch upon now, and hopefully as the year goes on we're going to talk a lot more about. But the Gemara quotes a famous Rashi of Acha Brei Rav Ika. Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika tells us, you know what? Dini Mamas B'Shlosha? Not quite. It's not exactly as true as it sounds. Dini Mamas B'Shlosha, says Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika, doesn't apply to Hodos V'Hovos. Mikra Din. Min HaTorah, it's not true. It's just not true. How do I know it's not true, says Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika? What's the Mokor? Three magic words. What are the three magic words? B'tzedek tishpat amisecha. Tishpat is a lashon yachid. It doesn't say b'tzedek tishpat amitchem. It says b'tzedek tishpat amisecha. This is referring to a din Torah. What kind of a din Torah? Zot v'ach v'ravika, hodos v'avos. We can't that the nimomenes of hodos v'avos are only one. The Mishnah says all the nimomenes of b'shloisha. What does Rav Acha say? It's b'drabonon. Their eyes, it's b'drabonon, l'chadchila, b'diyev, b'drabonon, z'china. Why? That's what the Gemara wakes up at the Gilu Mer Aleph. The Vachmei Rav Ika Omer Midereis Tchana Mikasher B'Shem B'Tzedek Tishpat Amisach. How does Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika fit into everything we've been talking about? Does he accept Irav Parshas? Does he deny Irav Parshas? He doesn't say anything about it. So what do we think about that?
How can he be accepting Irav Parshas if he's saying he won't bend the according to the
Torah? Okay, so you're a Rashi man, right? You're a Rashi person. Rashi says, I believe Yamuna Shleim in his box. Rashi says, this box is it. The Irav Parshas needs three, and Irav Parshas gets away with one. If we find Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika siding with the position that one is enough, it's tantamount to say that Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika must be an anti-Irav Parshas man. That's what Rashi says immediately in Daf Gimel, and then he repeats it again in Daf Hey. Throughout the Masechta, every couple of blocks, Rashi keeps on going back to the same story, that anybody who says one dayan is enough for any shape or form is automatically an anti-Erev Parshas person. And comes Taisus and disagrees with Rashi. What does Taisus say? Taisus says, you're guilty of overkill. Because if you really think that ain't Erev Parshas Kosev Khan, go back to how do we start Shira by saying? Who remembers? How did we start Shia? What was the first thing when I asked you for your opinion that I didn't want? What did I ask you? What's the base? The baseline is one. The starting point is one. There's no reason to believe you have 15,000 dayan. There's no reason to believe you need smuch, and the baseline is one. I like that phrase. You start off with one. So if Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika was really an anti-Erev Parshas person, why does he have to go searching for Kibbutz Parshas Kenosha, Tzedek Tishpat Amisecha, to be Magala, Dinder, Isa, Drosha, that one dying is good enough? Paper clay, that one dying is good enough because you never needed more than one. Zeman Findor says, Taisus, the exact opposite is true than Rashi. 180 degree different from Rashi. And Taisus keeps on shepherding us in this point, Daf Gimel, and then later on Daf Hey. Every time the Sugya comes up, Taisus the same Tizbit. Taisus says, no. Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika, who was forced to quote a posuk, he felt compelled to bring a posuk to tell me that one dayan is enough. You know why you need a posuk? Because the baseline was not one. The baseline was three. You know why the baseline was three? Because of what two magic words? Because of what two magic words? Erev Parshas. Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika subscribes to Erev Parshas. In Bava Kama Daf Kuf, he probably buys into Erev Parshas. even though he holds Eir Parshas, he holds that Eir Parshas is trumped by what? By Gzeiras HaKosov, Mitzerek Tishpon HaMisechel. So Rashi ends up in the same place. Rav Achman Ravika ends up in the same place. He holds, there's no question that Rav Achman Ravika holds one is good enough. That's a Gemara. Can't argue with that. So Rav Acha for sure holds that one dine is good enough for Hodos Ravos. According to Rashi, that means he's an anti Ein Eir Parshias. But according to Tosfos, no, he's a big believer of Yesh Eir Parshias. Dafka, because it is Eir Parshias, that's why he needed a post. So according to Tosfos, Tosfos' version of Acha Medavika, which is very, very convincing, according to Tosfos' version of Acha Medavika, what box is starting to chip? What box just has a crack in it? This one. We spent 20 minutes extracting these two nekudas from the sugya. This was the theme of the Beis and the Beis and the Masechet Sanhedrin. And Tosfos themselves to show you that, well, it's not 100%. It could be that you accept Eir Parshias and don't necessarily conclude that you need three or three smuchin, because there's always in the back of my mind, up our sleeve, is the trump card. What's the trump card? What's the three-word trump card according to Racha Ravika? Betzedek, Tishbon HaMasechet, breaks all rules. It overrides all other pre-existing conceptions, all other pre-existing drashas. So this box is very true according to Rashi, not as true according to Tosfos. But now Tosfos challenges the other half of the box. We're already knocking the box apart to pieces. Now Tosfos is going to go for the real, for the kill, on the base and the base. What seemed to be a dover pashat atma'id is that if you hold the Ein Erev Parshias, there's nothing to talk about requiring three dayonim for Hodos Ravos. Because Rabbi Say, as was said so eloquently by our Shir assistant, the baseline is one. If you deny Erev Parshias, tell me, please, where in the world are you going to come up to say anything as to say you need three dayonim? If you deny Erev Parshias, there's no source in Chumash Bichlal for three dayonim by Hodos Ravos. Says Tosfos, that statement is compelling logically, but it is wrong, says Tosfos. It is just absolutely wrong. And Tosfos starts rattling off the Makairis from Bavli and Rishami to show you why it's wrong. Because Tosfos did the homework, and Tosfos dug up. There are Tanaim and Amoraim who deny Eir Parshias and end up on what team? They deny Eir Parshias and they end up on what team? Requiring three day on him. Minat Torah. Now, whether Tosfos' research was correct or not is going to be debatable. We're going to hopefully talk about that as the sugya develops and unfolds a little bit. But let's just go along with Tosfos' logic right now. Tosfos is trying really hard to tell us that this box that took us 20 minutes to develop is wrong. It's not totally zebazeh. The Gemara sounds like it could be. It's possible. Kenzai, Nashio, Dene, but it's not Muchach. So Tosfos easily already showed us that you can accept the Erev Parshias and still not require three. That's Rav Achman and Rav Iga. But now Tosfos is trying harder to prove to us that even if you deny Eir Parshias, you don't necessarily end up denying three. Because Rabbi Say, Tosfos is very good. Tosfos is pretty good at playing cards over here. Tosfos just is getting about to dig up a what? A second what? Second trump card. Tosfos is going to show you another pasuk, another marker, somewhere else, to try to show you that even in the absence of Eir Parshias, there's another source out there. There's another pasuk in Chumash somewhere that's going to become the source for Gimel Dayonim, even by Hodos Ravos, even in the absence of Eir Parshias. But that's going to be significantly more difficult. You know why? Because the first half of what Tosfos did, that they dug up Rav Acha and Rav Ika and they explained him in a certain way, they didn't make up a shita. They didn't make up a pasuk. I mean, we already have documented the Gemara, the use of that pasuk as a source for our discussion. But Tosfos is about to pull off, and you have to appreciate what Tosfos is doing. Tosfos is about to pull off a real stunt over here, because they're looking for a pasuk in Chumash that's going to serve as an independent source for requiring three dayanim. Nothing to do with Eir Parshias, because we're holding even Laman Yama, no Eir Parshias. So you have to see, you have to appreciate how challenged Tosfos was. That's why the Tosfos is so big. A lot of guys in San Diego today, Rebbe, should we do the whole Tosfos? Do whatever you want. Why should we do the whole Tosfos? Why not? If you don't have time, so then do the snips of the Tosfos. But if you have time, I should learn the whole Tosfos. But the reason why it's such a long Tosfos is because Tosfos has, they have to climb Mount Everest over here. They have to find the pasuk. So now Tosfos got to really think. They have to put on their Google caps and start from Bereishis Bara Elokim. You can only go as far as the Ein Kol Yisrael. They're limited. They don't have that much to look. They have five Svarim and Chumash, and this is what they're looking for. Okay, look for a needle stack. What are they looking for? We're looking for a source for three dayanim, but heldos valvos, and don't quote me Erev Parshas, because we hold a Erev Parshas, Nosef Kan. That's what we got to look for. Right? You understand what you have to look for? Where would you even start? Where would you even begin to look for? You probably open a Parshas Mishpatim, and you would soon close it, because you realize there's no pasuk, there's no Malkah. So what did Tosfos do? The first thing Tosfos did is they read the end of the Gemara and said in the Beis and Rebeis. And they found that there's a Gemara on the Beis and Rebeis, actually going on to the Gimel and Aleph and the Sanhedrin, that has a Jerusha that may be handy, may be helpful. If we take that Jerusha and maneuver it and manipulate it a little bit for our purposes, so then this Jerusha may be the key to the Sugya, says Tosfos. You know what the key to the Sugya is? You know what the Pasuk is? What's the Pasuk everybody say? Mishpat Echad Yelochem. Now we have to see how Chazal used the Pasuk and how Tosfos potentially uses the Pasuk. Chazal and Davgimum and Alpha Sanhedrin are not even talking about Mishpat Dayanim. They're not talking about Smucha, they're not talking about anything. How are they, what are they using this Pasuk Mishpat Echad Yelochem to be referring to? To a halach called Derisha V'Chakira. There is a halacha that when you have dimashas, you have to ask a lot of questions of the Eidim. You have to have drishas and chakiras, seven specific questions and more questions. It's a lot of interrogating of the Eidim. It says it multiple times in Chumash and Pashas, and Pashas Shoftim, the Darashtim, the Chakarit, the Sha'al Tehitev. There's a din of drisha chakira. When it comes to dinim amenes, there is no mention of drisha chakira. There is a mention of Eidim, Apishnaim Eidim Yakum Dover. The Torah does speak about the requirement of having Eidim, but nowhere does the Torah spell out that we have to really, really rip the Eidim apart in the realm of dinim amenes. So comes the Gemara of Gilam Ralph and says, we have a tradition, Rabbi Chanina, that Dvar Torah, Echad dinim amenes, Echad dinim fashu drish v'chakira. Midaraisa, the dinim of drish v'chakira apply equally to amenes to do dinim fashas. Shenemar, mishpat echad yelochem. Taf, we give a bit of a poskin parashas emor. The Torah says, mishpat echad. All the mishpatim are the same. Dinim fashas, the amenes, they're all the same. All the dinim are the same. Mishpat echad yelochem. Hopefully, Mirza Shem, when we speak a little bit later on, 2 sugyas from now, we're going to spend a lot of time in this din of Drisha and Akira, both by Mamnas and by Nefashas, what exactly the dinim are, but not for now. We'll take the Gemara's word for it right now. There's a din derais that compares the Mamnas to the Nefashas, the magic phrase called Mishpat Echad. Taisa says, this pasuk Mishpat Echad, is going to be really, really helpful for us. Because we're about to darshan psukim, okay? Put on your Tanoim hats, we're about to become Tanoim. Mishpat Echad Yelochem, what does it say, you do? What's Tosfos Drasha? What does Mishpat Echad mean? What do the words mean, Mishpat Echad? All the Mishpatim are the same. There's no difference in any Mishpatim. All Mishpatim are created equal. So comes Tosfos and says, just as Chazal said, all Mishpatim are created equal, and therefore, Drisha like he replies to Mamre Sechad Asen Afashos, Mistam, we could say like this, all Mishpatim are created equal, and just as Gzelos v'Chavolos require 3 dayanim, and the 3 dayanim have to be smuchim, how do we know that, by the way? Because of where? Because of Mafkid Shabbat, Vikra Balai Slohim, all the Abbeis and Abbeis. Just as some Mishpatim require 3 dayanim or smuchim, all Mishpatim are created equal. Mishpatim equal, equality before the law. Mishpatim Yalachem, all Mishpatim are the same, and therefore you require 3 dayanim for all Mishpatim, and all 3 dayanim have to be smuchim. L'kayim hashenem ha-mishpat echad yolochem. So here's what Tosfos just said. You know what Tosfos just said? You have to see how desperate the Baalei Tosfos are. They need a pasuk. Because again, this box has got to go. This is history for Tosfos. We're going to show you. What do you want? You can't blame Tosfos. They had Deis and Tanoim. They had Amaron. They had Baal Hashem. They had Shittas that appear in Shas that don't accept the Rebbeis. And still talk about requiring 3 dayanim in the Raisa. So Taisa's mamash is in the corner. Taisa, how to find a makor. Taisa's guess, we're not going to make up a makor yesh me'ayin, but we already have this idea. We already have a precedent in Chazal and Sanhedrin of Gimel and Aleph for such a comparison, comparing different dinitayrah to one another. Mistama, this is the missing link. It's a very, very strange Taisa. This is the missing link, says Taisa. It must be Mishpadech Yilachem, Allah the Gemara and of Gimel and Aleph, comparing to the mamash with the nefashas. Atkan. The missing link of Tosfos. So Baruch Hashem, what have we accomplished? This box is mamish blown out of it. Got it. Mamish history. Tosfos said, What really matters now in the sugya of do you need 3 dayanim or not 3 dayanim? We thought it was all near parsha sugya. We are so limited. Our scope was so limited that it's all near parsha sugya. There are really two different makoros that Tosas just introduced into this discussion that are really carrying the day. What are the two makoros that really matter? One bakal was Betenek Dishbara Misecha, Rav Acha Bar Davika's drasha, and the other drasha is this quote unquote made up drasha Mishpanecha. But Tosas now gets into trouble. Tosas gets into a lot of trouble in the base of the base. Because once Tosas just introduced Mishpanecha as being a factor, what do they have to address now, Rabbi Say? Logically. Once you say there's such a drasha out there of Mishpanecha, lumping everything together, Gezeilus equals Halvals, everything based on Mishpanechad, there's something very, very difficult. Tosis is guilty of what? Of overkill. What's the overkill? Mishnah. What? What's the overkill? What's the overkill? Okay, I think everyone's saying the same thing, but nobody's saying it clearly. There's a machlekes in the Gemara. No question there's a machlekes whether Hodos or Avos require 3 dayanim in the Raisa or not, right? Shmuel, yeah, Rabbi Abba, Rava, everyone's getting into the discussion. Okay? Chol zman that you tell me that the factor is an Erev Parsha factor, so then I can appreciate the two different opinions. We know there's a machlokes back from the Bava Kamma days with the Erev Parsha or not. So I understand what the Nekudas of machlokes is. If the whole issue of 3 dayanim, 3 smuchim is only rehinging upon Erev Parsha, so then I understand what's going on. But now the Tosas just introduced that there's a totally different machlok, nothing to do with Erev Parsha. There's a machlok called Mishpanecha Yilchem, which is an equally valid machlok to require 3 dayanim smuchim. Does anybody question Mishpanecha? Does anybody argue with Mishpanecha? Can anybody possibly argue with Mishpanecha? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph Sanhedrin says what? Dvar Torah what? Amar Rabbi Chanina what? Dvar Torah, Echad Dini Mamunas V'Echad Dini Nefashos, Shav Medrish HaKiva, Shenema Mishpanecha Yilachem. We don't know if anybody argues with that. We don't think anybody argues with that. That's Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina is presenting to us what the unanimous view is, Pashtas. So everybody accepts as the drush of Mishpanecha. Before Tosfos entered onto the scene and took this drasha and said, wow, this drasha is also a source to equate gazelles for ha'avals, before Tosfos came along and made that equation, so I would have said, Mishpanecha Yilchem, it's talking about Drish Chakira, it's talking about Mamas, it's not even talking about this topic. But Tosfos took Mishpanecha and said, no, Mishpanecha can be used as a possible source to require Gimel Dayanim, because it can equate gazelles to ha'avals now. The original Rabbi Chanina didn't say anything of that nature. Rabbi Chanina was talking about a different time. He was talking about Drish HaKira. So Tosfos, who took Rabbi Chanina and took Mishpanecha and says that this is a good, valid marker for Gzeilos equaling Havos, and that's a source for 3 dayanim, you know what the overkill that Tosfos is guilty of is? It's such a great marker. It's such an unbelievable phenomenal marker. Then what? How could what? How could anybody disagree? How could there be how could Shmuel disagree? How could Rav Achmir, anybody in their right mind disagree and say, no, Hodos don't need 3 dayanim. They do need 3 dayanim, Mishpanechad. Before Tosfos discovered Mishpanechad, we didn't think that was a fact. We thought it was all near Pashas issue. But once Tosfos introduces Mishpanechad, it's such a great makar, how could anybody argue? So Tosfos is really stuck. So you know what Tosfos has to show you now? Tosfos has to show you, Mishpanechad is a great makar, according to some, and it's a terrible makar, according to others. And Tosfos has to explain to you now what the Nekudas of Machlokes is. That just became the new challenge of Tosfos. So again, it's a long Tosfos, the reason why it's a long Tosfos. Because first Tosfos had a, this is the logic, right? I'm just going simple steps when you read a Tosfos. Just have to think it through. The sugya, we thought that everything depends upon Erev Parshios. So Tosfos discovered, nah, that's not true. There are Yesh Man Diyomar Ein Erev and still needs 3 dayanim. So such a sheet exists. So Tosfos is looking from Minohan Emili. What's the other Mokhla? Where did it come from? The Tosfos made up of Mochar, Mishpat, Mishpat Echad. Tosfos found the Pasuk. And now Tosfos says, wait a second. If it's such a good Mochar, Amai, Yesh Cholkim. So now Tosfos has to explain to you what the Nekudas of Machlokes is all about. What is it if Machlokes between those Amoraim on the page and Sanhedrin, the Beis, and the Beis, who clearly are not using Mishpat Echad as a source for 3 Dayanim? What's the Nekudas of Machlokes between those Amoraim and those Amoraim which Tosfos discovered, who they're guessing, we don't know exactly, this is the Machlokes, but Tosfos is guessing, this must be their Machlokes. Tosfos created a Machlokes, this is a real, Tosfos really going the extra mile here. They created a Machlokes, and now they explain to us what the Nekudas of Machlokes is. What is the Nekudas of Machlokes between the Amoraim and the Beis and the Beis, and the phantom Amoraim and the Bavlis and the Rishamis and Kol HaShas, who are subscribing to this new drasha called Mishpat Echad? You cannot tell me that it's a machlokes whether it's a good drush or a bad drush. Everyone accepts the drush of Mishpat Echad. That's Rabbi Chanina. So you have to explain to me why Tosfos' application is a good drush or not such a good drush. So Tosfos goes the next step. Tosfos says, Mishpat Echad Yelachem in the Gemara itself, Rabbi Chanina's application of Mishpat Echad is comparing what to what? It's comparing Mamonis to the Fashos vis-a-vis what? Tishachakira. Okay? So there are two nekudos in the original drasha of Mishpat Echad. Let's not lose sight of what the original Mishpat Echad is and what Tosfos' Mishpat Echad is. So the original Mishpat Echad, as appears in Rabbi Chanina, Sanhedrin Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, is talking about Drisha v'Chakira, and the comparison is Mamonis to Nefashis. Tosfos' application of Mishpat Echad, Mishpat Echad, this is the Gemara, and this is Mishpat Echad of Tosfos, is what? Is talking about what? Mishpat Dayanim slash Mumch, slash Smuchin, right? Quality and quantity of Dayanim. And is it comparing Mamonis to Nefashos? What's the comparison? What's it comparing? Mamonis to Mamonis. Comparing, basically, Halvos to what? To Gezeilus. So there are two differences between the Gemara's Mishpat Echad and Tosfos' phantom Drasha of Mishpat Echad. No? Where do you go from here? Obviously, those who don't accept Tosfos, namely all the Amoraim and Abeis, anyone who holds that Yitaka don't need 3 Dayanim for Hodos Vavos, Shmuel, others who hold that you don't need 3 Dayanim for Hodos Vavos, are clearly denying Tosfos' extension of Mishpat Echad. Which Nekuda are they denying? It could be either one, it could be two, it could be both. What is Nekuda Samachlokes between the Gemara's Mishpat Echad and Tosfos' phantom Mishpat Echad? What is the point of difference? Which of these two characteristics do we say is true but irrelevant, and which one do we say is true but relevant? What does Tosfos opt for? Tosfos is going to go in either direction. What does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, you know what the point of difference is that's really important? Yes. This is really, really, really problematic. You know why? Because Tosfos not only wrote Tosfism, not only thought about this topic, but Tosfos also went back to Chumash. And they didn't even have the Pesukim written on the side of the Gemara. They had actually, and they didn't even have printed Chumashim. So they had to go schlep to the Sefer Torah, open up the Aron Kodesh, turn off the alarm, open up the Sefer Torah, and actually roll the Sefer Torah to know where it was up to. They didn't have a Torah or on the side to even tell you where the Pesuk was, so they had to know where the Pesuk was. And they actually looked up the Pasuk Mishpat Echad Yelachem. How many of you looked up the Pasuk Mishpat Echad Yelachem? You didn't have to go to the Aron Kodesh. You didn't have to open the Sefer Torah. It's probably printed in your Gemaras, and nobody looked. So I'll tell you why, Rabbi Sam. You know why? That's what Tosfos is, what Tosfos is, and that's what we are, where we are. Because they had a Malash al Torah. They knew how to sweat. Rabbi Sam, please don't want you to be insulted. It's Chai Shaul. Okay. Rabbi Sam. I can't remember. You should be insulted. Chizuk, some Musar, Tarashel. The boy say, what does it say, Mishpat Echad Yelachem? What's the context of Mishpat Echad Yelachem? What? Who's got a Chumash? What's got a Chumash? What? You're going to give me a phone with a chumash? Who's got a real chumash? You know? The one that Kadosh Baruch Hu wrote. You know, the one, the real one. The real one. No one even has chumash. What? If you like. Okay. Who's got a phone? Quickly. Chumash, come on. Let's go. Quick. Give me a computer. Laptop, phone, anything. Okay, just don't take a picture of this. I did what I, those who were in the shul last year will appreciate this, or maybe won't appreciate this, but I did something over the summer that I have never ever done, and I hope never ever, hopefully never ever to repeat. When I was flying back from, I had to come back to America for a couple of days, for Tisha B'Av. I was flying back, and it was time to daven shacharis. I went in the back of the plane, I was diving in the back of the plane. And davening, and a fellow came up to me, and he's opening his talis because he's fumbling around. He couldn't find his sitter, so he asked me, "Evshim, maybe you have another sitter?" So I said to him, "I said, take mine. It's all right, you can use my sitter." And I looked around, there was no one there who knew me. And I took out my phone and I davened shacharis. Like you guys are gonna check my price quotes, and like everybody else does. Okay. That's a very bad thought of you at the time. 30,000 feet up, I saw the most Yukno Shadak the Berman in front of me, but I was going to call Yeshki Mechim, but my phone was on airplane mode, so I couldn't call. Okay. Well, this is really fancy. Leviticus chapter 24. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath named the man. Man, render, this is like right out of King James. This is like. Okay, what do I do now? What do I press? Well, Hebrew, yeah, preferably, yeah. How would I do it? It's Hebrew inside. What do I press to get this back? It disappeared. Ve'enenu. Scroll, the whole thing disappeared. The whole thing's going to blow up in a second. Okay, 1 second. Let's see what we got here.
I don't know, it turned off. I don't know the code.
Okay, he's got Ibn Ezra's and Unklus says, I just want to pause. What happened here? How do I do this? You're in the wrong... You're in the wrong parish. Oh, yeah, it's the end of the parish. Yeah. The end of. If we'd ever Ramban, I ever wanted to on the end of parish, then more of them interesting. Svarno, Balaturim, some nice gematrias. How do I get to what I want? These phones think that everyone learns be Eon Chumash. Oh, 1 second. There's more Chodesh Adar than Chodesh Elul here. Oh, here we got it. Actually, it's even highlighted. Highlight it for me?
Yeah.
That's nice.
You got whatever pasuk you want.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm just going to read. Okay, fine. It's coming to go. It's got Marmon Kermis on the side. Doesn't quote Tesis. Okay. Umakei vehemaya shalmena, umakei adam yumas. That was my ksubis last year, you may remember. A little bit of Tandre Chiski may ring a bell, okay? Umakei vehemaya shalmena, umakei adam yumas. Torah is talking about what? What's a maka behema? An example of what? Of dine what? Lominus. Umaka adam yumas is an example of what? Dine fashas. After speaking about dine lominus and dine fashas in the same breath, the Torah says, Mishpat echad yeyelochem. All of the above dinim are all the same. Mishpat echad yeyelochem. That's all we need. Rabbi Yisai, the original context of Mishpat echad. Is no question what it was talking about. It was talking about the comparison between Dine Mominus and Dine Nefashos. The standards are all the same. Dine Mominus equals Dine Nefashos, which is exactly what Rabbi Chanina told us. Dine Mominus, Dine Nefashos, Shavim Midrish V'Chakira Midaraisa Mishmelech and Yolachem. Comes Tosis and says, there is a machlokus lurking behind the scenes, a machlokus amarayim, just how far Mishmelechot goes. One day in the Gemara says Mishpat Echad goes only as far as it actually appears in Chumash, namely, the goal and the purpose of Mishpat Echad is to compare Mominus to Nefashos. That's all there is, there ain't no more. And therefore it serves as a good mokor vis-a-vis Drish V'Chakira. It serves as a terrible mokor to equate Ovalos and Gezeres. This is not Mishpat Echad. There's no statement in Chumash anywhere that says all Dinim Mominus Olam together, all one, off one, one for all. There is no such statement. Therefore Taisa says, many Amorai, many opinions in the Beis and Sanhedrin are of the opinion that Hodos are not the same. Hodos and Havos are not the same as Gilos and Chavolos. There is no Mishpat Echad. Mishpat Echad is irrelevant. If you deny your Parshias, then where do we go back to? David's famous where? To his baseline. The baseline is one die, it doesn't have to be samuch. So Taisa says, this is the reason why he after Amaram, the base of the base, never heard of 3 day on beheld also of Osman Atairah, because there's no makor mishpedachar, it's a terrible makor, Iroparshas doesn't exist, baseline is one. The other daya, the phantom daya, who Taisa dug up Rabbi Yechon and Rishamis and Maislach, Taisa put together a half a dozen Amaram, who wrote the opinion that no, even in the absence of Iroparshas, there's a makor for 3 day on him. They had an unbelievable mechudish tikkur reading of Mishpadechot. It's a wild chiddush of Mishpadechot. What's the wild reading of Mishpadechot? Even though the original context of Mishpadechot was only mumnas versus nefashas, comparing the two, Mishpadechot has a deeper meaning also, comparing all of the mumnas to one another. That is the nekudas of machloikis. So Taisus made up a machloikis, and they even explained to a beer in the machloikis. The nekudas of machloikis is where and how far reaching is Mishpadechot. Is Mishpadechot limited only to the context of comparing mamonos to nefashos? Or does Mishpadechot mean everything's the same? All dinei Torah, mamonos, everything's the same. That's the nekudas of machlokes. So, whoa. So, it's got, this sugya got so complicated. We thought, the first 20 minutes took us to explain Erev Parshas. We thought the whole machlokes was, Erev Parshas, Nein Erev Parshas, that's all there is right no more. Then Taisa says, no, there are other factors. Betzek Tishbar Misach is a factor. You have another trump card, Mishpadechot. And Taisa would explain to you what the issue is in the Mishpadechot. To Russia. Is it a good Russia, bad Russia? The boys said about the Taisas are relentless, as we used to say, Leshian Ksubas, relentless. They don't let you go on this one. Taisas, just another Kasha. What's Taisas bothered with next? Taisas says, Mishpat Echad, everybody agrees is equating Babbas and Fashas. There's no question about that. It's for sure equating Babbas and Fashas. That's a Bichanina, that's not negotiable. Taisa says, let's revamp the drush a little bit. If you agree, you mean everybody under the sun agrees that Mamlus and Nefashis to compare Mitzvah and Mishpadechot is, let that Gufa be the Mokor that you require what? Dayanim what? Dayanim Smuchin for what? For Dini Mamlus. You know why? You require Dayanim Smuchin for Nefashis? What's the answer? Absolutely. If you require Dayanim Smuchin for Nefashis, so let's learn now from Mishpadechot to require Dayanim Smuchin from Mamonis also. Don't compare Mamonis to Mamonis, because that's not such a great mock. That's a highly questionable comparison. We're not so comfortable with this. Hadals of us exist, Chavalas. Some of them are more comfortable, we're not so comfortable. Even those who weren't comfortable comparing different kinds of Mamonis to one another, let's compare Mamonis to the Fashis. And therefore come to the conclusion that you need Smuchin based on that. To which Taisa says, no, that is for sure not acceptable. You know why that's not acceptable? Because if you're going to compare Mamnus to the Fashos vis-a-vis Dayanim also, you're going to be led to the absolute absurd conclusion that Dine Mamnus by how many? By 23. And that's forget it. That's just not Shaykh. But all the Makairas are talking about Nefashos, that doesn't make any sense. 23 Dayanim, forget about. So comes Taisa and says, when the dust settles, we cannot compare Mamonis directly to Nefashos in terms of Dayanim. The best we could do, Mamonis to Nefashos, will gabi Jewish v'chakira. If you want to borrow and use Mishpadechot to compare vis-a-vis Mishpad Dayanim, you have to go down the route of comparing Dini Mamonis within each other. And that you can't do, according to some, because that's an incorrect application of Mishpadechot, and others disagree. So, Babayisai, when the dust settles on the sugya, if I would now ask you, I asked you a question, we started Shir. I asked you a question deliberately. What's your baseline? What's your starting point? How many Dayanim do you think are necessary? So the correct answer was, one, what are the qualifications of the Dayan? Nothing. That's the starting point. I now have three totally different factors, three possible different Makoros that now have to be worked together and mixed together and figure out what's pointing in what direction, which are going to bear weight on this discussion. There are three totally different factors, three different sesakosos, and three different parashas, three different areas of Chumash. With Gamri, three different parashas in the Torah that have to all be put together and analyzed and figure out where we're going to come to. Factor number one is what? Eruv parashas. Factor number two is what? The Tzedek Tishpah, Hashem Yochid. Factor number three, Mishpadechot. According to the simple reading of Rashi, The only factor that really truly matters is what? It's only one thing that really matters according to Rashi is what? Your passion. If you're a believer in your passion, you get three. If you do not a believer in your passion, you get one. According to Tosfos, that's one factor, but not the only factor. You could potentially accept the Rabashias and still get away with one, if you hold B'tzedek Tishbot. You could potentially deny your Rabashias and still insist on three, if you believe in Mishmer Echad. Rabbi Sai, what force Tosfos hand on this? Why did Tosfos have to make this whole last half hour Shia? What was wrong with the way the Gemara said that it all depends on Irapashas? What was wrong with Rashi? Because Tosfos dug up Shitas, who they've proven don't accept Irapashas, and yet insist on three. Who are those Shitas? I made it sound before like 100 Shitas in the Gemara. 1,000 statements involved in the Rishamlis to that extent. Overdramatized. There's one. There's one Amora that Tosfos got into a corner of him. Who's that Amora? Who saw the Tosfos? Yeah, that was the one that Tosfos doesn't spend too much time on. Yeah. They mentioned him, Rabbi Yechon. The Tosfos got very, very nervous. So Tosfos got bays on the bays. Tosfos gets into a lot of trouble. The old Kasha, the middle of the Tosfos, the Rabbi calls about 10 lines or so down. First of all, the line is Oshia. The old Kasha. The Rabbi Yechon is Levi Agoizel, the Rabbi Bachama. Rabbi Yechon happens to accept Rabbi Bacham. Rabbi Bacham happens to be the person who holds what? Who denies Ir Pashas. He is the Tani, quotes a Bryce, he is the person who represents the anti-Ir Pashas group. So Rabbi Yechon happens to subscribe to his Shita, so Rabbi Yechon is not an Ir Pashas person. Uv Rishami Deresh Mechilpin Amrinan, Rabbi Yechon Veshlokesh Amri Trevayah, Shnaim Shadano Ein Dinayim Din. Tosfos says, if you deny Irapashias, so then what should you have concluded about three day on him? You don't really need three day on him. Rabbi Yechon himself says that Shtayim Shadano Ein Dinayim Din. So Tosfos saw that as a kasha. Tosfos said, Rabbi Yochanan, who denies Irapashias and still says you have to have three day on him, where did it come from? And we read that Tosfos carefully. That's Tosfos' first kasha. We spent 45 minutes giving Tosfos to speak them the hearts out about the sugya, and now we're going back to what forced them to this whole sheer clothing in the first place. It was Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon had gesagt, I deny your parshas case, but a comment of Zion, right? That we know for a fact. I'm not arguing that. And Rabbi Yechon, Rishalmi says, Shnayim Shadano Ein Dinayim Din. So you see, Rabbi Yechon holds you need 3 days on the Fodos Mavos. So much to raise the hand on this one. Rabbi say, does anybody under the sun hold that you can get away with a din Torah of less than 3 dayanim halach lemaisa? Hold on. What does the Mishnah say? Dini mamnes b'shloisha. It's referring to odos v'avos and gzeilos v'chavalos. The machlokes amaroyim was what? What was the machlokes? Whether it's deraisa, whether it's derabanan, right? Wasn't that the machlokes? Everyone agrees that imamus b'shloisha. Everyone agrees that dos avos require 3 lamaisa. Machlokes was is deraisa or is it derabanan? So what did Tosfos want? So Rabbi Yechon Mishlokes says you need 3 dayanim. So zayin mit derabanan, you need 3 dayanim. How did Tosfos know that Rabbi Yechon was talking on the love of deraisa? Rabbi Yechon lived in Tveria hundreds of years after the Din Derabanan, Din Mamas Mishloisha was instituted. So Rabbi Yechon said, you need 3 dayanim, remember the Derabanan, you need 3 dayanim. So how did Tosfos know, even he asked this kasha? You're ready, raise your hand. You're ready. So I'll let you flesh out what you said.
Yeah, so Shmuel said that you only need that if two judge, then it's not ideal, but if their din is a bit.
Oh, because that's what you can say also, right? That the Gemara sounds like, if you hold dinim amos b'shloshes is a deraisa, then it's not going to be chalav medievet. If you hold the dinim amos is only b'shloshes and derabanan, it sounds from the Gemara that it's only a what? It's only a din lechet chila. So you have to really read the Tosfos carefully. When Tosfos brought you a sheet of Rabbi Yechon and it says that shnayim shadon ein dinayim din, you can't pin that on a din derabanan. You can't say Rabbi Yechon said that derabanan need 3 dayanim. No, if you would have needed 3 dayanim in derabanan, then it wouldn't have been rachah medievet. So Zeman from Da, you see from Rabbi Yechon that it's a din deraisa. So you have to. That doesn't all say that in the Tosfos. You have to read that into the Tosfos, because the Tosfos quotes the Rishonim. The Rishonim says Shnayim and Dinayim Din. So translate what that means if you were writing elaboration upon Tosfos. Shnayim Shadon and Dinayim Din is a code phrase for saying three Dayanim Midiraisa. Because if it would have been Derabanan, then it would have been good B'diavad. Anyone know, we're not up to this yet in our sugyas, anyone know who would immediately take issue with this Tosfos? Okay, so we'll get to the Rambam a little bit later on, future sugyas, we'll see that the Rambam wouldn't have even known where Tosfos is coming from. Because the Rambam happens to hold that you only need three Dayanim Midiraban, it's still possible B'diavad. But we have time to work out later. Yeah.
Could the Rabbanan be
So the Rambam overrode the din. We're going to get to that. Okay, just wanted to drop a hint. Future sugyas. Remember that. Remember, put a little note somewhere on the side. So let's get back to this for a second. So Tosfos is trying really hard to show you that Erev Pashas is a factor, but not the sole factor in our sugya. So Tosfos, but you're right, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was an anti-Erev Pashas man, and still Rabbi Yochanan is a big believer that you need three dayanim. Then Tosfos comes in for the grand finale. Well, the Hachoylets and Yevamis and Nami come Rabbi Yechon and Ger Tzar Shloisha Mishpat Ksiv Bei. Rabbi Yechon says that a Ger requires three Dayanim because after all it's called Mishpat. And therefore, what? What's the therefore? If Rabbi Yechon says that Ger Tzar Shloisha Mishpat Ksiv Bei, that shows us that Rabbi Yechon must hold you need three Dayanim of Aldos Ravos also. Right? How does that show that? How does it show anything? Rabbi Yochanan made a statement in a vacuum. Geretzah, Shloisha, Mishpat, Ksivbein. There's a parasha of Mishpat. Geretz is called the Mishpat. You need three Dayanim for the Mishpat of Geretz. Rabbi Yochanan was obviously assuming that all Mishpatim in the Torah require three Dayanim. Because if some Mishpatim required one Dayan and some Mishpatim required three of them, how in the world would you know which Mishpat the Torah is referring to by Geretz? So for Rabbi Yochanan to make such a loaded statement, Geretzah, Shloisha, Mishpat, Ksivbein, that's tantamount to saying every single Mishpat under the sun requires three dayanim, which is tantamount to saying that dinim bamlis b'shlosh ados v'vos is a din mida raisa. But hey, Rabbi Yechanan is the one who denies the Rapashias. So Tais, it's that statement of Rabbi Yechanan and Yevamis put together with Rabbi Yechanan. How Tais is learned? Tais is learned by Vakama Dafkov Zayin. They dub up a sugi in the end of a Gozal Kama that Rabbi Yechanan believes in Rambam Bachama. He's an anti-Rapashias man, and they dug up a Gemara in Yevamis Dafkov Vav. The Rabbi Yochanan is a believer that you need three dayanim for geirus. The only way to make any sense out of those two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, how can it be? How do you know ger tzarech shloisha? Maybe ger tzarech echot. Maybe geirus is like odos valvals. Zemun from Dor, you see from here the Rabbi Yochanan held all dinei mamnes, all dinei momishpat in the Torah require three dayanim. So Tosfos put together a stira in Rabbi Yochanan from the Kamak of Zion to Rabbi Yochanan and Yevamis Daf Mevav, and you know what the conclusion was? What you have in front of you, what you used to have in front of you on the board. It's because of that stira that Tosfos said, oh, must be Mishpat Echad Yalachem is playing a role. Aye, but that's only Mamanus and Nefashos. No, it doesn't really mean that. That took up a whole Chagadia to explain that stira in Rabbi Yochanan. Those were the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan that Tosfos couldn't jive together. That forced Tosfos' hands to create Mishpat Echad. So I want to focus on this Tosfos for a second. Tosfos saw in Rabbi Yochanan's famous statement, Ger Tzarech Shloisha, because Mishpat Ksiv Bei, this is a Raya Brura She'en Ola Tshuva, that Hodos, Zalvos, require three Dayanim in HaTorah. Right? That's clear from Tosfos. Clear as day from Tosfos. That Lichtin Rabbi Yechanan is that assumption that all Dinim Amonis require Shloisha. Who disagrees with this Tosfos? Tosfos themselves, Maseches Kiddushin. Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin raises this very nakuda. Tosfos is a small Tosfos in Kedushin. Tosfos asks the following question in Maseches Kedushin. You have Kedushin for me? Very, very small. Geretzah, Shloisha, Mishpat Ksiv Bei. V'yim Toima, says Tosfos, I'm skipping a little bit. V'harei hodos v'hovos, t'chsiv behen mishpat, Tosfos is asking, there are days in Sanhedrin Daf Gimel that accept Dayan Echad for Hodos Ravos. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say what he said? How can Rabbi Yochanan argue that Geretz are Shloisha Mishpat Sibbe? There are Mishpatim themselves that don't require 3 day on him. Would Tosis and Sanhedrin ever ask such a question? What would Tosis and Sanhedrin immediately have said? It means Rabbi Yochanan obviously doesn't hold that way. Rabbi Yochanan is a 3-man dazed in person. Rabbi Yochanan has his way of his sources. Again, it's not Irvashius, Zolzan is not Irvashius. So we'll make it Mishpadachon, we'll give you Shir Klali. But how it's Mishpadachon? Tyson said, Hedrin wouldn't have even asked this Kasha. They would have said, Enochanam, Rabbi Yochanan, Taka holds 3 Dayanim. Enochanam, Rabbi Yochanan does not accept Ados of Vos Bechaz. But Tyson Kedushin didn't want to push Rabbi Yochanan into the corner. Why do you think Tyson didn't want to push Rabbi Yochanan into the corner? Because pushing Rabbi Yochanan into the corner created a necessity for what? For a long, long Tyson said, and Tyson Kedushin didn't want to write so much. Tyson Kedushin didn't want to go down that route of Mishpatechad, Maislach, with drushes, extrapolating Sukkim, Rabbi Chanina, stealing drushes, manipulating drushes. The whole 9 yards is not necessary. Tyson didn't think that was true. Tyson Kedushin and Dafsabach Beis thought that we can somehow have our cake and eat it. We could have Mishpat Ksibbe Begeras and still somehow subscribe to the view of Hodos Vos Pechad. Something that Tyson and Hedrin thought was an impossibility. But Tyson has to do a lot of work. Tyson has to really explain how that phenomenon could be true. Because the cash is better than the terrace. How can you tell me that Mishra Beg of half the Mishpatim under the sun don't require 3? So that's what Tyson addresses. He gives a startling answer. As Tyson says, V'yesh loymar, D'yesh lanu l'hashvayson l'gzeilas v'chavalas, t'l'oylam bo'y shloysha. Hear what I just said? I just said, Geretz are Shlosh Mishpat Ksivbe. Geretz are Shlosh Mishpat Ksivbe. So we have to compare Ger to some kind of a Mishpat. There are two kinds of Mishpatim. There are Gzeilas of 3. And there are halvals of 1. And we're still going to go to what? We're going to go here. We're not going to go here. According to Tyson Sanhedrin, there is no here. Because Rabbi Yochanan holds 3. But Tyson Kedush says that Rabbi Yochanan holds halvals, halvals is 1. He's an anti-air parshas. He holds 1. Notwithstanding the fact that half the Dinei Torah under the sun are 1, the Mishpat of Geirus is 3. How do you know? Tyson says, I'll tell you very simple. You have a choice. The Torah is comparing Geras to one of the two, Mishpat Ksivbe. It's either the Chumra one or the Kula one. There's a cloud gadol in Hakeshim. When we compare to Dinim, L'Chumra L'Kula L'Chumra Makshinan. Says Tosis, if we can't decide whether to compare Geras to 3 or to 1, we are going to compare to 3 and not to 1, because that's how you run a Hekesh. And therefore, Tosis is convinced that Rabbi Yochanan himself, Tosfos Kedushin is convinced, Rabbi Yochanan himself is a one dayan show for Havos, and Geretz of Shloshes can be adapted to Gezeilas, unlike Tosfos Sanhedrin, who says that this is impossible. If Havos is 1, then there's no way to know that it goes to 3, not to 1. But like I said, we have our work cut out for us. This is all introduction today. Now we have to really get to Nekudah Hofnechem tomorrow to understand what in the world is Tosfos Kedushin talking about, and what in the world is Tosfos Sanhedrin talking about, and what are they really arguing about? Hopefully, Hofnechem tomorrow. Guys, rush down and still get Nekudah. Nekudah says, they want to stop in the introduction.